You're listening to a podcast from Victory. The power of the gospel not only saves individuals, but redeems nations. Learn more about this message in week one of our series, The Mission Continues.
Hi, Pastor Alfred and Miss Belen. How are you guys? We miss you. It's been a while since we caught up with each other, hopefully sooner than later, in better times. And to all our Victory Metro East family, thank you guys for loving us, supporting us, and always praying for us. We feel that Iris and I are grateful, and I can't imagine doing what we're doing here in Sydney apart from you guys holding the ropes for us. So thank you. I know we all live in a very strange times these days with this pandemic happening around us, but I still believe God is faithful. God knows what He's doing, and He will see us through. Whether there's a virus or not, and all His promises will come to pass in our lifetime. Just hang in there. Continue to believe. And when Pastor Alfred asked me to share the Word of God this afternoon, I'm just thrilled and privileged, honestly. And, you know, you don't get asked by Pastor Alfred every day to preach, so absolutely I said yes. But before I preach the Word this afternoon, let me just brag about your pastor, Pastor Alfred. I've known him many years back. When he was still a kids' church teacher, and I was his student. No, just kidding. I was also a volunteer teacher back then. And all I can say, Pastor Alfred is a man of commitment, a man of passion, a man who knows where to put his time and invest it. And what a better way to invest your time than reaching the next generation. And that's what he's been doing week in, week out. And I had a close encounter with him, and I had the privilege of working with him as pastors in Victory Metro East. And man, Pastor Alfred is the real deal. Seeing him raise two beautiful daughters in Patricia and Sam, and just leading his family, I could say is you have a treasure in Pastor Alfred. I can't see any man who's fit to do the job just leading and being a pastor for your congregation, apart from Pastor Alfred's leadership in his life. So, Pastor Alfred, hats up to you, bro. Man, I hope I could work with you again, but soon. Maybe we don't know yet. So today we're going to talk about preaching the gospel to the nations. And I believe you guys are in the series in the book of Romans. And I believe it's not just the role of the church to preach the gospel, but really to embrace the preaching of the gospel to the nation as a lifestyle. And that's what Christianity is, really. It's not just an information in which we hinge our life, but really a lifestyle in which we are transformed from glory to glory. And this is what I sincerely believe, and that's why we are here in Sydney. No matter where you are, no matter what you do, your age, status, or however you want to classify your life, God's going to use you to reach the nation. And all it takes is really if you're going to pay attention and just obey Him. And like what I said, I've been here in Sydney for, 5 years now? And I had just strange encounter and conversations with a lot of students from different nations and trying to disprove the existence of God. There was this one student trying to disprove the existence of God when he was asking this professor about if God is really real and if He's really good. And he asked this question in this way. He said, if God is really good and if I don't believe in Him, will He send me to hell? You can see from that question, it's really a trap question. But the professor, being gracious that he is, answered back and said, and replied to him, said, I don't think God's going to force you to go to heaven if you don't want to go to heaven. And I don't think God's going to force you to believe to Him if you don't want to believe in Him. And looking at that reply to that question, it really made sense. Because I believe God's not going to force us to do that is against our will if we don't want to do that. And we see in this conversation, we can see that you can choose what you believe. You can choose the narratives of how you want to believe your life or how you want to live a certain way, but you cannot choose the outcome or the consequences of your life. some people are saying and questioning the goodness of God. And how can a good God send people to hell? It's actually not God who sends people to hell. It's actually our decisions that sent us to be separated from Him. And that's also what I believe in preaching the gospel to the nations. When we pay a lip service to this, when we just shrug it up under the rug, when we just don't give this so much value in preaching the nations or preaching the gospel to the nations, yes, we can do that, but we cannot choose the outcome or the consequences of these decisions. Whenever you watch the news or you sit in front of the computer looking at the news around the world about the racism, the political instability, the terrorism, world hunger, and whatever is it that's disturbing us around the world with this news, and people would say, you know, that's just a social problem. And it's just the government should be resolving this. And well, there is some truth to it because legislation can certainly improve the way of life for certain countries. But I believe every problem that we face in this world, there's only one solution, and that's the gospel solution. Because every people problem, there's a gospel solution to it. And if there is a people problem, because there's a gospel problem. And if we don't preach the gospel to the nation in which deals directly to our hearts, our evil hearts will continue to destroy and wreak havoc in this world. So let's not blame ourselves if we don't preach the gospel and found ourselves abortion being legalized. I mean, if we find ourselves same-sex marriage are being pushed in the agenda in our country or in different nations, then I'd be surprised for that. Because if we don't preach the gospel to the nations, that's actually the natural consequence or result of that. When we are forced to have 3 bathrooms in our schools, that would be another consequence. Here in Australia, that's actually an issue where, you know, kids can no longer be sent to a boys' or a girls' bathroom. They have a choice. If they identify themselves as a boy or a girl, they can go to whichever bathroom they're choosing. That's a result of us not paying attention of preaching the gospel to the nations. Because you can choose and pay attention to this and don't do nothing about it, or you can pay attention and do something about it. And that's what we're going to talk about this afternoon. In the book of Romans, in which Paul was talking to the church in Rome, he was addressing this this concern. In fact, it was perfect that Paul wrote this in this city. I believe Paul specifically wrote this instruction because if there is a city in which global change can happen, it would start in Rome. Because Rome is a central city of trade and commerce. People congregate in this city. And Paul was encouraging the church in Rome and saying, if there is a city, a church that can disciple the nations or reach the nations or preach the gospel to the nations, it would be the church in Rome. That's why this is how Paul addressed this to the church in Rome. And this is what I'm going to read in Romans chapter 10, starting in verse 11 to 16. So if you're following with me, you can read with me. I'm reading from ESV version of the Bible. So this is what Paul said. In verse 11, in chapter 10, it says here, "For the scripture says, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." So basically, Paul was trying to establish the lordship of Jesus Christ. There is no gospel apart from the lordship of Jesus Christ. And everyone who would come to be saved, everyone who would be guaranteed with salvation, it's only under one name that we are all going to be saved, and that is the name of Jesus Christ. And Paul didn't stop there, all right? And then it's like Paul throwing a rhetoric question to the people or the church in Rome. I think that's also the same rhetoric question that he's throwing to us today in the 20th century church. It says here in verse 14 as we continue, "How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard?" So Paul is basically saying, Jesus, the name of Jesus in which everyone should heard, should give their lives into? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. You see, I want to focus the word, our attention in the word sent. Because we all know, and we all establish this, and also Paul established this, that Jesus is in the center of the gospel. His lordship, you know, who he is, and what he has accomplished in the cross and resurrection is what really will bring salvation to the nations or to the people around us. But what Paul was trying to point out here is, as good as Jesus, what he has accomplished on the cross, is that it's all going to be put into vain unless we preach the gospel, unless we go out there and be willing to be sent. And that's the word I want to talk about this afternoon. What is this? What does it mean to be sent? What does it mean to be sent? I know Paul spent some time with the disciples, and for sure he has heard the Great Commission from the words of the disciples when Jesus commanded the disciples, go out there and make disciples of all nations. And I believe that's the same heart what Paul was saying here to the Church of Rome, which is, go out there and make disciples. So what does it mean to be sent? What does it mean to go out there, to go and to make disciples of all nations? I believe first is, to be sent means to embrace the risks. Let me repeat that. To be sent means to embrace the risks. You see, when Jesus commanded his disciples to go out there and preach to the nations, the disciples are literally going to take some risks. And when Paul were asking the church in Rome to make disciples or preach the nations and tell them about the gospel, he was asking the church in Rome to make some risk, to live a risk or embrace a risky life. Because it was risky back then. Because remember, when Paul, when Jesus said, go and make disciples, the disciples are thinking, hang on, if I preach this gospel, I will be an enemy of the state. Because remember, it was the state who crucified Jesus. And it's not just that. If I preach the gospel, I will be continuously to be the enemy of the church, because it was the church, the temple, the priests were the one who conspired against Jesus for him to be crucified. So what I'm trying to say is, there is a real-life risk for the disciples in order for them to fulfill and to be sent out there and preach the gospel. Embracing the risk, you see, moving from a comfortable life to life of risk and inconvenience is what it means to be sent. And then that's what I think is the same words that Paul is echoing to the church in Rome. If you're going to be preaching the gospel to the nation, there will be a lot of risk and inconvenience. And you know, that is true. That is true for them. That is also true for us. For them, it would mean saying no to their lifestyle, saying no to their convenience. They probably have to say no to some of their lifestyle or habits, because if they embrace this lifestyle of preaching the gospel, there would be a target behind their backs. I mean, the state or the church or temple leaders will be on them. Talking about big risk, right? And the same way for us, if we're going to be sent, embrace the risk is one of the ways we can do this. And that risk may not be as the same as the disciples in the first century, but also they would involve risk or embracing the risk, or sometimes it can be inconvenient. You know, it wasn't convenient for the disciples to preach the gospel those days. But also, I believe it's the same for us. It won't be convenient. You know, for some of us, if you're a student listening to this, you know, if you're going to be sent, it will be inconvenient for you to talk to someone that you don't like. Or it would be inconvenient for you to wait for an hour or two to share the gospel to someone, but then, you know, they won't show up. It would be inconvenient to connect to someone that's really far away, maybe not from your time zone. It would be inconvenient. Or sometimes it would be risky for some of the missionaries I know who answered the call to go to the Middle East countries. Their lives are at stake here. And if that's the price and the cost we have to pay, then so be it, because that's what it is. And for us, you know, parents, sometimes the risk or the inconvenience we may have to make is maybe opening our house to next generation so that they can have a house that they can feel safe, and from there you can disciple them. You see, being sent, okay, what Paul is saying here is telling the disciples in those days, or the church in those days, is to embrace risk. It's the same way for us today. If you're going to be sent and preach the gospel, it would take risks and inconvenience. But the price for this is worthy, because we know we are obeying the calling of God. So that's what it means. To be sent means to embrace the risk. Second thing, I believe, you know, is what I believe is what it means to be sent is to live a missional living, or to live a missional life. You see, I have a friend. His name is Earl. He's 8 years old. And I met him a few years back on one of the campuses I go to. And I'm just curious about his life, because one time he was just there talking to students and telling about the gospel and talking about Jesus. I got curious and I asked him after he finished that conversation with one student, and I asked him, and I learned about his background and history. He's actually a campus missionary for Campus Crusade for Christ, and it's been a while since he's done this. He's been a past president for this organization here in Australia, and then he's supposed to be retired. He's 80 years old, you know, but he said, you know, I still have time. And in fact, sometimes he jokingly tells me that if I get old, then I will stop doing what I'm doing. Like, talking about commitment, talking about living a missional life, talking about someone who's still embracing the mission of God at the age of 80. So when I learned that, I asked him, can you mentor me? So every Tuesday, I meet with him. And all this pandemic happened, it's still going on. He's still, you know, convinced to meet with me and mentor me, because he knows whatever he can pass on to me, it will go on generationally, it will go on to the nations. There's so much risk involved for him to go out, but still, preaching the gospel is something that he will never negotiate. It's non-negotiable for him. He's embracing the risk his whole life, especially with the pandemic, but also talking about missional living. That's what it means to be sent. It's being focused on the mission more than the convenience, more than the tradition of life. And talking about, you know, tradition, I remember one time I was attending a church in which, it's funny because I've talked to some people in the church, and they said the only preferred music that they want in church is hymns. And the reason for that is because they think hymnal music are what God has anointed for his church. And of course, I will not get into argument with that. And it's just strange to hear that when I see people getting saved in a church that's not doing hymnal songs. And it just dawned on me that some people are very caught up with tradition more than the mission. You see, when Jesus commanded the disciples to preach to the nations and go out there and make disciples, he was asking the disciples to move from traditional way of sharing what it means to follow God and embrace a missional living. Since these disciples grew up with the temple mindset, with dietary mindset, like, you have to eat certain foods, you have to go to temple, there's only one place of worship, and you have to dress certain ways and all of that. So these disciples, they have this traditional mindset, how it is to be followers of God. And I assume that's also the same in the Church of Rome, because they're a mix of Jewish culture or non-Jewish culture in the church. So there's always been a struggle. I mean, the narratives of the gospel, if you look at that, there's always a struggle with tradition and mission. But I believe when Paul says, you know, you are to be sent, he was asking the church to move from tradition to mission. From traditional living to missional living. You see, there's nothing wrong with traditions. You know, in its truest sense, it's good as long as it is accomplishing the mission, as long as it's advancing the purpose of the mission. But if a tradition hijacks the mission, I think we have to evaluate if tradition, if our tradition, is really worth holding on to. I was making some research about this message, and I chanced upon this research about, did you know that the guitars, electric guitars, and this stuff or drums were only introduced to churches in the late 80s to 90s. Before that, it was no-no or taboo to use all this musical instrument. I don't know what the people's reason behind that, but clearly, you know, some people prepare a certain kind of music and some people prepare like maybe a more modern music. Well, that's not the argument here. The argument here is, are we living our lives holding on to our tradition that hijacks our mission? Or are we living a missional life in which we can be all men to all people so we can preach the gospel to all nations? And that's what it means to be sent, embracing a missional life, embracing a missional living. And sometimes it's really hard to move from tradition to mission. I mean, we're so used to a certain way of doing things, especially if you've been a Christian for so long and it calls for you to do and learn certain techniques to share the gospel. But really, it's all about in the name of the mission. I know it's hard sometimes, but really, you know what's hard? When we see our kids walk away from our churches because they don't see any more value, because we value the tradition more than the mission, more than the power of the gospel. What's hard is when we don't see people coming into the faith. What's hard is when we see churches are empty. And specifically, in my context here in Australia, I travel all around the city. You can see churches really empty, like 20 people or less, or 10 people. And sad to say, some of these churches were being converted to a gambling pub or just a restaurant. You know, what's supposed to be a light of the world to the city has become just a statue or a monument collecting dust. And that's not right, and that is not good, because we can't just hold on our tradition. We have to go and embrace a missional life. And that's what Paul was saying here to the church in Rome. Stop the tradition. I know you've been accustomed with temple living, dietary laws. You're familiar with all this temple worship. But I want you to move from tradition to mission. Share your lives to people. Share meals. Sit down. Pray for each other. That's what it means to be a scattered church. I believe in the gathered church. Certainly, there's a value to it. But the power of the church is not going to be effective if we're not going to be scattered. And that's what Paul is saying here. You have to embrace a missional life. That's what it means, being sent. And lastly, what does it mean to be sent? It's being Spirit-led. It's being Spirit-led. When Jesus commanded the disciples to go out there and preach to the nations, He told them that He's going to be with them at the end of the very end of the age. That's the Spirit of God being with them. Because honestly, when you embrace this lifestyle of preaching to the nations, when you embrace this idea of, I want to be out there and make disciples, it's not easy. Yeah, it's never really going to be easy. It's not convenient. You know, and it requires a lot of change in you, especially when you're so accustomed with certain things. But you see, Jesus knew this. Jesus knew the struggle and the pain the disciples would go through if they embraced this lifestyle. And I believe Paul was also saying and encouraging the people in the church in Rome. If you embrace this, I know it's not going to be easy. But you see, the reason Jesus said, I'm going to be with you, is because so that you don't have to rely on yourself. Because if we make disciples of the nations, if we preach the gospel to the nations on our own, there's not going to be change or transformation, because if we just rely on our own wisdom. That's why we have to rely on the Spirit. We have to be Spirit-led. And that's what it means to be sent. Trusting the Holy Spirit, sending us, being aware of His presence wherever we are so we can be present in the moment to preach the gospel. And sometimes it's also discouraging, right? Like we put our hands up, we said, okay, let's do this. I want to volunteer my time. I want to give my time. I want to embrace this gospel living lifestyle. I want to be out there and preach the gospel. But sometimes it can be discouraging because the people that you've been praying and trying to reach out to, they're not going to show up. Or worse, maybe they're going to, you know, slander you or talk behind your back, even though you mean well. And that happens all the time. It happens to me, and for sure it also happens to Pastor Alfred. It all happens to all of us. That's why Jesus said, I'm going to be with you. My Spirit's going to be with you. So that when you feel discouraged, you feel this is too much for you and overwhelming, the Holy Spirit will comfort and give peace to you. You see, being sent, it's not just being out there by your own. Being sent is being with Jesus. Being sent is being led by the Holy Spirit. And, you know, I realized one time I was walking in University of Sydney. I was there trying to engage students. And I had this conversation with this student. And I don't know how the conversation went, but and we ended up asking each other's age. And he said, I asked him how old he is. He said, he's 18 years old. And he asked me how old I am. I'm 38 years old. It's like, wow, there's a 20 years gap in this conversation. And then the conversation went on about how he is, his life and everything. And then I don't remember if I shared the gospel to him, but I do remember I think I got his contact and details and everything. Maybe I could invite him to one of our gatherings. But that's not the story. The story was after I got out of that conversation, and I feel, I don't know, bad or sad about myself. Like, I realize, man, I am old to do this. You know, I am old. Like, I don't know if I can still do this, if I can still keep up with all of this. But you know what I realize? You know what I realize? If I depend on myself, if I trust on myself, I probably would stop. Because I will believe the lie that I'm old. But because I believe that I'm led by the Spirit, I'm relying on the Holy Spirit, I can still continue. The same way for you guys. If you live a life, make a decision to be led by a Spirit, you can make disciples of the nations. You can preach the gospel to the nations. You can embrace a missional life. You can go through every risk and inconvenience in your life. It's going to be okay. Why? Because you are being led by the Spirit. So I hope you guys are encouraged. I hope you will be challenged. I hope you will be convicted by the Holy Spirit because this is what it means to be sent. And my prayer is when you see the nations, when you see people who needs to hear the gospel, you will be the first person to say, let me do that. Let me do it. Let me go out there. Let me embrace the risk. When you feel like you're holding on to your tradition, I pray that you will say, okay, let me embrace a mission of living. When you feel like you're overwhelmed, I pray that you will be reminded that you don't have to do it alone, but you will be led by the Spirit. Amen? So let me just pray for you guys before I close our message and pass on to Pastor Alfred. Lord, thank you for today. We thank you for your word. We receive your word. I pray, Jesus, that you will continue to change us and transform us so that you can use us mightily to preach the gospel to the nations, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. See you guys. Have a great weekend. Bye.
Thank you for listening. We hope you were encouraged by the message. For more podcasts and updates, visit victory.org.ph or download the Victory app. You may also give through our website and share your prayer requests and answered prayers with us there.